Hey, Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time we come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided.
Yep. Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Monday, August 8th, 2022. And so from the Reese Committee hearings on tax-exempt foundations, this is Wednesday, June 9, 1954, an exchange between Thomas McNeese, the testimony of Thomas McNeese, Assistant Director of Research to the Special Committee to Investigate the Tax-Exempt Foundations. And being sort of cross-examined by Wayne Hayes of Ohio, there's this little exchange. McNeese is being questioned about his implication in his report, being questioned by Hayes about his McNeese's implication that there's basically a centralized plan and plot and design and motive among the institutions that have been created to advise government. You know, that was the progressive talking point. The administration of government is agnostic, and therefore, you know, it doesn't matter what your beliefs or background are, as long as you're some kind of an expert, you know, because government is complicated and no one can understand it but the experts, the technocrats. And so There's a questioning going on. Hayes, well, McNeese says, speaking of the certain organizations, American Council of Learned Societies, Social Science Research Council, American Council of Learned Societies, in preparing a directory of experts, he says, I take that as evidence of the flow of what might be called a central or mainstream of influence. I believe it is in this next and short section of my report that I mention merely as factual evidence the number of people from the field of social science who are employed at least in part by government today. What's the point that he's making? Well, like Mark Twain said, cornpone opinions. Show me where man gets his cornpone, and I'll tell you what his opinions is. So McNeese goes on, he says, that is, we have letters in which they advise us of the names of those people and the fields of work in which they are occupied. Hayes says, what do you read into that? The government has need, apparently, for these people. Where would you more logically turn than to these societies who would have lists of people? McNeese's response is brilliant, and this is what a patriot should say. I am not in any way questioning either the need or the source, except as it comes from a firm and compact group of what might be called and has been referred to here as the intellectual elite. It might be defined by another term as the mental aristocrats. I believe all of the testimony, and you know, there's the bandwagon effect, for Pete's sake, which is a logical fallacy. I digress. McNeese continues, I believe all the testimony that has been given here and without any attempt on the part of us, any of us, to tie in the testimony of the various professors that have appeared here seems to indicate the same thing, that there is, let me call it, a preferred group, which is called upon for advice. It is a highly concentrated core. I think I used the term in my previous appearance on the stand. So Hayes presses, and McNeese gets more specific. The punchline I'm coming to, which is absolutely brilliant, and it's always stuck with me. This is the first time I read this. He says, if you were doing the calling, you would call upon the best brains you could get, would you not? You don't mean to put some term of opprobrium by calling them the intellectual elite. McNeese says, no, but neither would I know how to define best brains. How do we define best brains? I would call on people in my judgment that would be fitted for that. I am not doing the calling. The government is doing that. Mr. Hayes presses, I understand that, but if you were doing the calling, and if you had to find somebody in a certain field, we will say social science, you know, which is the Reese Committee proved the field of social science is essentially the cybernetic, technocratic, Bernaysian manipulation of the social mechanism. I digress. How convenient for Hayes to pick social science. Again, I digress. So he says, if you were doing the calling, you had to find somebody in a certain field, we will say social science, or for that matter, any exact scientific field, which social science is not. Again, the Reese Committee proved conclusively social science is pseudoscience. Setting that aside, Hayes says, how would you go about finding them? McNeese's answer is brilliant. He says, the first thing I would do is to look into their background and training and find the particular types of views held or expounded before I would do anything else. I take it here that government does not do that, but relies upon the recommendations of the very central group to which I have referred previously. That was the very purpose of the $65,000 grant in total made by the Rockefeller Foundation. And $65,000 doesn't seem like much today, but back in the days that it was made, it was, I mean, call it $1 million for all intents and purposes. So McNeese continues, that apparently is accepted as final by the government. I have to assume that. I do not know that, but that was the purpose of organizing the list. That was the purpose of organizing the list. Just a little bit more on this exchange. Hayes says, what was the purpose again in organizing the list? McNeese says, as I have stated previously, the purpose was to supply a list of individuals qualified in the judgment, and I don't say this in a disparaging way, of the intellectual group from which this list emanated. And it's sort of circular reasoning, if you will. You know, it reminds me of, you know, Congress, you know, hearing the testimony of Ray Epps, who says, oh no, I'm not a Fed. I'm not part of some COINTELPRO styled operation. Oh, he says he's not. So clearly he's not. Really? Has there been any investigation? It's just a weird circus. Without getting off into that, I had a conversation recently about that. And the whole Oath Keepers, you know, Stuart Rhodes involvement. Ray Epps is not a Fed because he says so, and Stuart Rhodes is clearly not a Fed because he's being prosecuted. So, yeah, we'll see. Anyway, I think McNeese makes a brilliant point. The first thing I would do is to look into their background and training and find the particular types of views held or expounded before I would do anything else. And I think another nuanced corollary to this should be applied as well. We all need to be, you know, less familiar perhaps with New York City nuke PSAs and probably more intimately familiar with our own founding documents. I think that would be, I think we would be well, much better served in our, you know, trying to preserve the best aspects of our American heritage if we did that. So moving on somewhat, but still similar, you know, incorporating that New York City PSA stuff that we played in the first hour of today's broadcast, including the actual PSA itself and Grace's, really Graceful's, what you might call, you know, mini mockumentary of it. I would add, as a sort of segue, different in form only, or different in name only, Dino. Coercive engineered migration serves several purposes, one of which these days in a multicultural sort of setting is to create what Myron Fagan might refer to as the mongrelized sort of homogeneous mass of folks, yet different enough in form to clash against one another, to continually, you know, try to form this unbreakable homogeneous group. That's what's been happening around the world. I believe the United States military-industrial complex, since the enactment of the National Security Act in 1947, has been doing this effectively around the world. And, you know, efforts have been made in similar fashion before that, obviously. That calls to mind FM3-07, Stability Operations, October 2008, Department of the Army. I've talked about that in the past. I won't get into that right now, but, I mean, you read just astonishing stuff. Full spectrum operations to broader efforts aiming to achieve stability, emphasizing the simultaneous nature of offensive, defensive, and stability tasks. Rule of law is a principle under which all persons, institutions, and entities, public and private, including the state itself, are accountable to laws that are publicly promulgated, equally enforced, and independently adjudicated, and they're consistent with international human rights principles. Yeah. Agenda 21. There are certain exceptions, obviously. Some animals are created more equal than others. I digress. So what happens when you take this idea of different in form only, creating a mongrelized homogenous group, and you combine it with the fear-mongering of the nuke PSA, for example, or strategy of tension events like, you know, the things, the Rob Elementary episode, for example, which is, you know, to think that we're going to try to fix failures. Again, you know, every single time something comes out where somebody slipped through the cracks, miraculously, there's always a slipping through the cracks. Somebody met with law enforcement. Were they on psychotropics? Did they hear voices? Somehow they managed to slip through the cracks and do a thing. So we need more laws and more laws and more laws. We got to turn the entire country into a prison state because we don't already have the highest per capita incarceration rate of the entire developed world. Oh, wait, we do? Okay. What happens when you combine these concepts? You know, what happens when you move people from California and New York to Texas and Montana, for example, or move people from Texas to Montana and vice versa, though I'm not aware of nearly as many folks going to Texas from Montana as vice versa. But what happens when you do that? I think you create a homogeneous group of folks in mindset, certainly, and it's easier to achieve herd think, a level of herd think, which gets back to what the Reese Committee was talking about. What is this difference? What is the distinction that McNeese is getting to? He's getting to American ideals, which at the time we still had an understanding of individual liberty and personal freedom versus this collectivist communitarian notion that everyone, you know, that exists in society has to justify their existence in George Bernard Shaw sort of terms. Maybe we should play that clip because that's really what it comes down to. That's what the Amate Etzionis say, you know. And I've talked about somebody had a hat on the other day, you know, it was a shirt actually. I support my local, it was a local volunteer fire department. The volunteers don't have to justify themselves, but the regulars have to justify themselves. And in America, the regulars that term contextually, historically, has meant, you know, the standing military, or, you know, what we would call the Pentagon and the armed forces, and so on and so on. And that's supposed to replace the militia of the Second Amendment, for example. And we don't have to worry anymore. I've mentioned recently, you know, because of the Dick Act, now, you know, we don't need the American militia. No, that's part of that's the National Guard, Chris. You don't understand. Yeah, something about that whole continuity of government effort seems to fly in the face of separation of powers. Just saying. So what happens when you achieve this level of homogeneous thought? You get in a dialectical conflict model world where we're constantly bombarded with strategy of tension episodes, including Manchurian patsies. You end up with articles like this. I've seen articles like this that rippled all over the state of Montana, for example. I'm sure the same thing happened down in Texas. I saw Jim Brewer say not long ago that they're hitting Texas hard because, you know, Texans have guns, and we gotta, you know, what do all evil societies do? What do all tyrants do? And it's hard for us, I think, you know, one additional layer of nuance. It's difficult for us to understand, you know, is it Joe Biden? Is it this? Is it that? Stuart Chase told us in, was it the road ahead? Was it the road we're traveling? Bill Gates is the road ahead, I believe. So Stuart Chase, the author of the New Deal, or, you know, whatever, guy actually credited with the New Deal, called it control without ownership, which is more effective because you can't find a head. And so if you can't cut the head off, then well, there you go. So it's difficult for us to understand. Anyway, here's what you end up with when you combine these elements. This article, for instance, by Hillary Mathis, entitled Hardening Schools. Districts look to security upgrades with latest massacre top of mind. And we don't start with the abysmal failure of protocol and security efforts that were already in place. No, we don't start with that. We jump immediately to, well, this is what the article says. It says, school security has again come under public scrutiny in the wake of the May 24 shooting massacre at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas. Multiple public school districts in the region have scheduled security site assessments through Michigan-based Secure Education Consultants, SEC. So if you're Michigan-based Secure Education Consultants, business is good. And what would you want? I mean, you don't ever want a tragedy, but maybe you want a tragedy. You know what I mean? This is their business. The regulars have to justify themselves. The volunteers don't. So if you're a regular, if you're a hammer, then you've got to find some nails. That's exactly what Trevor Aronson discussed in his TED Talk, his 2015 TED Talk, how this FBI strategy is creating U.S.-based terrorists. And he proved it, beyond shadow of doubt, with years of research. This article says those districts, well, this is a Montana article. It says those districts include Evergreen, Kalispell, Kyla, Troy, West Glacier, West Valley, and Whitefish. And so SEC conducted recent audits for other Montana districts, including Great Falls Public Schools, and sent keynote speakers to a Montana School Boards Association event focused on creating safe learning environments. Safe learning environments. You know where a safe learning environment is? Prison. That's where. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead, and when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. Patricia, excellent herbal formula. I use Extendivite to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Brian, I'm using Extendivite, and for me, it has made a world of difference. God made all these nutrients in the ground. Enough said. Cammy, 5 stars. I feel a lot of energy since I started taking Extendivite. TR, 5 stars. All I can say is Extendivite works. Buy it, try it, and see for yourself. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special, but I'm a creep. I'm a weirdo. What the hell am I doing here?
Welcome back. All right, let's table this for now. Go to the phones. Richard in Washington, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, great discussion as always. It's been a while since I've called.
By the way.
Do what?
I apologize for the wait.
Oh, no problem. No problem. I still get to hear the discussion. Bottom line, I haven't called in for a while, and this is kind of like a reminder, and you've had undercurrents of this in the discussion. Basically, the human animal can function in both the tribal or the herd mentality. When you're tribal, you emphasize individualism, and that's what you're talking about in a lot of your quotes, is man as the individual. But we've been subject to public education, and as Lark points out, communitarianism, and the herd animal is more in the social conformity mode. Basically, we've been subject to carbohydrates and fear, that's Hans Selye and stress of life, and because of that, basically, we're just in this constant state of wanting to be in the herd mentality for protection, and that essentially creates a situation where, you know, we're just totally sociopathic, I guess, in the perspective that we look for people to give us direction, and that's quote unquote usually government, and you know, by definition, government is mind control. But we never even think about that. We just are looking for the security.
Yeah, and I would say psychotic in an sort of an orthodox definition. It's interesting to sort of support your point. All of the messaging from the foreign relations experts that say that tribalism, for example, you know, the Afghani people who are patently tribal in nature, you know, that's a bad thing. It's always frowned upon when you listen to those, you know, essentially the manipulators, thought manipulators and architects and so forth. It would encourage us to believe that thinking for yourself is dangerous and outmoded.
Well, that's it, and I label the powers that be, the CSIPs. They're self-entitled and self-appointed sociopaths in power. And when you look at them that way, you realize that these are not people that you want to look to, even though, you know, most people do. They're looking for that security. But you know, the whole mentality has changed from individualism now to being a social conformed part of the herd. And when that happens, you see things that are happening now. People are running and standing in line to get the self-destructive experimental injections. I mean, you look at what's happening and you think about the fact that, you know, the population density gets more and more conformity oriented, you realize we're in deep trouble.
Absolutely, no doubt about it. And yeah, that's, you know, the population density issue is something that seems to be sort of reemerging. It's fascinating how even in historically rural sort of areas now, I think of Bernays and his example of the piano. You know, if you want to get people stampeding to your store to buy pianos, then instead of going out and saying, buy my piano, you create this whole marketing campaign where architects design salons, you know, for grand pianos and things like that. And you create this whole public perception that having a musical parlor is in vogue. And then you get this stampede of people saying, sell me a piano. And I think of that with the multi-use stuff, because you see it everywhere now, even in the urban, historically urban settings. Now everything's going to multi-use, and you know what? We can live upstairs and work downstairs. It's going to be fantastic. And I keep thinking of the stuff that guys like Derry Brownfield, for example, wrote about the UN population density push and, you know, stack them and pack them kind of nonsense.
Well, that's it. Basically, that's the trend. And unless you fight that trend and kind of get more isolated and more individualistic, you know, the trend is where it's going.
Well,
Eric Fromm wrote a book called The Anatomy of Human Destructiveness. And bottom line, that's his perspective, is as the density becomes more involved in controlling, you know, you get more, you just follow the animal trend. You become more destructive, more abortive, more non-individualistic.
Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, RAD, consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, and do we still have Richard?
Yeah, one
great
last comment.
Sure.
The CSIPs, you know, call themselves Jews or take the credit for being Jews, and what they do is they follow a tribal mindset. So they are separating themselves from the herd animal social conformity thing, and that's what gives them the ability to kind of guide the herd, as I see it, and we're not being guided in the right directions, of course. So, you know, we've got to look to that all times when you, you know, recognize what Lark points out, is that we're just being totally bombarded by public education, communitarianism, and all the things that are putting us in that herd mindset.
Yeah, I'm going to table the one sort of aspect of that for now. But, you know, I was thinking about Eric Fromm's contributions, the cultural Marxist bent, and, you know, what you mentioned in the last segment. This is a guy who wrote things also like the modern mass man is isolated and lonely, even though he is part of a crowd. He has no convictions which he could share with others, only slogans and ideologies he gets from the communications media. And he also said, among other fun things, that man can be a slave even without being put in chains is of crucial importance in our situation today. And I think it's astonishing to me that someone so disturbed and part of a disturbed group of folks could be so influential. It's fascinating.
Exactly. And how he can get the social conformity activity to override almost everything.
Yeah. Which gets back to, you know, I think really kind of an orthodox definition of psychosis, where you are you're behaving in ways that are patently, you know, contrary. I mean, it's more than being schizophrenic, but you're behaving in ways that are patently self-destructive and go against, you know, counter to your best instincts, as you're pointing out. It's astonishing. So Eric Fromm, his middle name was Seligman, and I always wonder if he's related to Dr. Martin Seligman. Speaking of all of this, Martin Seligman is the guy who's credited with this idea of learned helplessness theory, which is obviously, you know, a parallel concept where you are behaving in a way that contradicts your most basic survival instincts. So, you know, the thing I think that's perhaps most astonishing is that people don't realize it, and even if they do, you know, as Plato observed in his allegory of the cave, if you try to tell them, bring it to their awareness, they will kill the messenger. So,
exactly. And what you see today and really kind of amazes me, everybody is like tattooing all over their bodies.
Yeah.
This is your largest eliminative organ. You need this. You can't put you know, poisonous ink all over your eliminative organ and think you're doing something productive. I mean, when I see that, it drives me crazy. Anyway, great discussion. Thanks for taking my call, and carry on.
Thanks, Richard. Much appreciated, as always. Yeah, the tattooing is the way that I would contextualize that is it is the externalization of the psychic mutilation that people are experiencing, and you're seeing it more and more. I had an opportunity to I was sort of reacquainted with a friend from years past that is the guy who originally said, yeah, this is a guy who was a contractor at one point, and construction general contractor, and in interviewing young folks, he joked that, you know, when these guys would show up with piercings and things like all over their face and stuff, he would joke and, you know, act startled and say, "Holy expletive, did you fall in your dad's tackle box?" And it's funny on one hand, but also not on the other, because again, it to me is an externalization of the psychic mutilation that everyone is experiencing. It's this society that Aldous Huxley talked about in his Ultimate Revolution speech back in 1962, I believe it was, at Berkeley, where people will live in a state that is intolerable. And yet when Klaus Schwab tells them that they are happy, you know, I mean, look at where we are drifting. We're hearing from these so-called international bodies. They're really not international bodies. It's exactly what we were told, 100 years ago in secret books and things that, guys like Edward Mandelhaus, the colonel who wasn't a colonel, wrote in Philip Drew Administrator, for example, you know, these are the people that should really be running the show. And so you go from there to Parag Khanna's Technocracy in America. Well, we should just have a council of 10 learned wise men running the country. And, folks like McNeese and Norman Dodd et al. In the Rees Committee cautioning us against that. And specifically why maybe that's not a good idea. You know, I read from McNeese's remarks to that effect. It's pretty astonishing to see what's happening. I want to get back to this article real quick. Speaking of articles, I also saw this article in the same paper that carried the same edition, the August 7 edition of the Daily Interlake in the Flathead Valley of Montana. This article, Hardening Schools, Districts Look to Security Upgrades with Latest Massacre Top of Mind. So two things. First, just a point on that, and then the other article, and then I'll get back to this article. But so a conversation I had with a couple of guys last week whom I had just met, you know, one of the guys said, there is no easy money anymore. And I said, I agree. Well, unless, you know, you're part of small group of folks who can, you know, maybe create and or influence the legislative process. And, you know, in similar fashion to what Madison called in Federalist 62, the sagacious and moneyed few, you create this influence and you know the trajectory of legislation. You're trying to do a thing, and so you're going to try to legislate it and use the regulatory mechanisms to create a monopoly for yourself. Indirectly, of course, because you don't want to be seen as a monopolist. You want to just be seen as a visionary, you know, who spotted a trend and was on top of it. Not that you were shaping it, of course, because that would be, you know, historically, that would be patently un-American. Anyway, to be able to create this process whereby, you know, you can legislate your monopoly and employ the regulatory mechanisms to enforce your monopoly. And then along the way, before all of that has come to entirely to fruition, you have a drip campaign on the general populace, wherever, you know, this would be applicable, to get them to, you know, you sort of soften them up. And by the time you get to the moment where the legislation is about to be approved or whatever, and the regulatory mechanisms will be put in place to enforce your monopoly, by that time, because of the drip campaign, the general populace says, oh my gosh, you know what we need? Here's what we need. So that's what I think of when I think of this hardening schools. You know, districts look to security upgrades. If you're in that business, Michael Chertoff, you know, business is good. It just continues to be good. And speaking of scaring the hell out of people to continue this effort that, you know, part of the drip campaign is scaring people so that they don't think critically. So speaking of that, in this same edition, I saw this article, Presumptive Case of Monkeypox Discovered in Flathead. Is that not an oxymoron, or is it me? Presumptive case discovered. You know what? I could discover as many presumptive cases as I wanted or didn't want to, couldn't I? Presumptive case of monkeypox discovered in Flathead. I just, you know, as some people would say, I want to say to the person who wrote this article and the editor who allowed it to run, slap yourself, please. I mean, this is ridiculous. A day after the federal government declared, imagine that. What a curious coincidence of timing. Are we learning anything from the nonsense over the last 2 years, let alone the last 20 plus years? Rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. If it ain't broke, rinse and repeat. Maybe that should be part of Jim Brewer's news cockatoo mix. You know, rinse and repeat. If it ain't broke, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. That's what happens, because if it ain't broke, why fix it? And just, you know, if you can just make it more stupid and more stupid, no one will believe that. I mean, it couldn't possibly be untrue if it's that stupid. That's the big lie concept. A day after the federal government declared a public health emergency for monkeypox, state officials in Montana announced that Flathead County likely is home to Montana's first case of the virus. Likely, presumptive case of monkeypox discovered. I could discover as many presumptive cases as I wanted to or didn't want to. Oh, look, I found 100. Wait, no, I found 0 presumptive cases. So like Grace was saying, segueing from her video, instead of COVID, now it's monkeypox. Even though no one's had the flu in the last 2.5 years. No one's had the flu. And the common cold is gone. We've eradicated it somehow magically. We didn't know that, but no one talks about... I can't stand it when somebody says, yeah, I had COVID. How do you know? How do you know that's even a thing? And speaking of Jim Brewer, that reminds me of the episode of Joe Rogan's podcast Jim Brewer was on. They talked about that a little bit. And Jim Brewer said something to the effect of, this is the biggest voodoo trick on humanity, on mankind, that I've ever seen. So the last thing I'll say about that is, like Kerry Mullis, Nobel laureate, Nobel Prize winning PCR test inventor, like he said about AIDS. Remember what he said about AIDS? He said a lot of things, Chris. Yeah. He said, if you want to see AIDS disappear, stop talking about it. And so I would say the same goes for COVID. The same goes for monkeypox, et cetera, et cetera. Although, speaking of what Eric Adams says about the water, now all of a sudden New Yorkers might have polio. That's interesting. I think that's a curious coincidence of timing, too. The big ones hit, you know, is this Fred Sanford? It's the big one. Don't ask how or why. It's the big one. And, so it's the big one, and you're supposed to drink the water while you stay inside and watch the media tell you what to do. But New Yorkers may have polio, apparently. All right. Back to this article. Let me see if we can do that real fast. Which is, well... Yeah. Maybe we will. Let's just go back to the phones. We're going to have Pat in Texas. Pat, thanks for calling. Good morning. Welcome. Do we have Pat?
Oh, now you there, Pat? Yeah, I heard him. Okay, yeah, now I do. I don't think you believe it. I don't think you believe in a devil, Chris. A devil?
You know what? Pat, I don't want to fight. Of course I do. If you've listened to this broadcast for any length of time, you know I do. What do you think I mean when I say that Charles Baudelaire, his quote applies with force, that the finest trick of the devil is persuading you that he does not exist? What do you think I mean when I quote that?
Well, I don't know who bottle there is, but I wanted to tell you.
What do you think I mean when I quote him?
Okay, you do all the talking. I'm trying to explain myself because I'm not as smart as everybody else.
I don't understand why you're calling in just to foment controversy, Pat. I just proved to you that your statement is not true.
I do not. I haven't watched movies for 20 years.
You don't need to watch movies. You don't need to know who Charles Baudelaire is. You don't need to know what he wrote. When I quote him, when he wrote, it was in French, but translated roughly, he wrote, "The finest trick of the devil is to persuade you he does not exist." What do you think I mean when I say that?
Let me tell you what I've seen going on.
No, answer my question. What do you think I mean when I say that?
I don't know what you're talking about half the time. You act like people ought to respect.
Moving on. Thanks for that. No, not waiting. We're not going to foment controversy unduly. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up, churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank, fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The
arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up, and long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone.
Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. Strawman, nonsensical and outright fallacious assertions serve only to foment undue controversy, peddling crazy, if you will. I mean, to assert that there are legitimate controversies, and I'm willing to talk about those. I'm certainly not right about everything. That's a fact. Never will be. Don't know everything. You know, folks like Richard and Lark and others are much more erudite than I, but to say things that are just patently false, I mean, that's, you know, that serves to foment undue controversy. And so there's no purpose in that. Anyone who's listened to this broadcast for any length of time, I think, knows I definitely believe the devil is real. I think much of, you know, what is, the persuading influence that is sort of like a lingering malaise, a green fog over mankind, and the over-socialization of mankind, as Ted Kaczynski put it, is owed directly to the devil. And the outworking of that is kind of another matter, but the whole orchestration of it, I think, is attributed to that character, and I don't think we should ever lose sight of that. I try to make a point of that regularly, and that's precisely why I quote Baudelaire: the finest trick of the devil is to persuade you that he does not exist, which, as I've mentioned many times, was paraphrased in The Usual Suspects with Kevin Spacey as Verbal Kint and Kaiser Soze. Who is Kaiser Soze? The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist. So, quite the contrary. If you read the work of the hierarchy over at LuciusTrust.org, you shouldn't. But I mean, if you do, there's no point. It's a waste of time. But if you read it, there's a plan. Reminds you of central planning. What is all of this central planning all about? What is the who's the planner? Who's the central planner? It's that character. And for that matter, it gets right to the heart of why I say, you know, that's the issue with socialism. Didn't all of the old Russian communists and Bolsheviks say that socialism is the road to communism? And what is communism if not a counterfeit of Acts chapter 2, the Pentecostal moment? The question is, who decides? Is it this character that convinced the world that he didn't exist? Or is it the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the creator of heaven and earth? So, yes, I do believe the devil is real. And I think he's responsible for a lot of the persuading influence. That'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Let's talk vaccine mandates, shall we? I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. Dr. Birx has admitted something that many of us were shunned and censored for saying just a few months ago. The COVID vaccine was never going to stop the transmission of the virus. With Biden and other high-profile people getting jabbed and still getting COVID, then getting COVID again, the stop the spread argument should be entirely off the table. The mRNA jab may very well keep you from getting deathly sick. And if that's true, that makes it more akin to a tetanus shot. It keeps you from getting a potentially deadly infection, but it doesn't protect anyone else at all. When was the last time an employer required you to get a tetanus shot or be fired? Please demand transparency from Congress by demanding a vote on H.R. 46. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/H.R. 46 for more information. Until tomorrow, Sivis Pashem, Parabellum.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.